So my first question for you, we actually spoke with Alice close to a month ago. This would have been in early April, just as this pandemic was starting. And she said on our airwaves that transit workers were getting adequate protective gear, that there was hand sanitizer at all the buses. So I want to hear from your perspective first. When this pandemic started, what were you hearing from workers? What did they have access to? And what were some of the concerns they raised?
We really, when she said we were getting hand sanitizer, she was talking about the bus operators, you know, the little miniature bottle. They would fill the miniature bottle up, and that was supposed to last them for a week. And they were getting one Clorox wipe, yes, for the day to wipe down the area. And when we had them, when we started getting them, we were getting a little surgical mask, which offer up no real protection against any kind of coronavirus. Given a number of boardings that we have, and a lot of times it's face-to-face with the wheelchair passengers. They have to literally come face-to-face to lock them in place and stuff. That wouldn't have been adequate for them.
So one of the other things that she mentioned was that they were having the rears of the buses open, so that way you would sort of reduce the amount of interaction between the driver and the passenger, that they were spacing out where people were seated on the buses, that they would block off some chairs. Can you speak to some of those policies?
That's what she was saying, but the reality was people were coming through that tape and sitting up and almost filling the buses completely up at that time, the same time she was saying that. And we just didn't think it was safe for the operator or the public to be seated like that. We recommended adding extra buses way back then so that you would bring down the amount of people in each bus by having more buses on those routes. And
what have you seen in terms of ridership over the past month and a half, 2 months? Was there a sharp decline once the pandemic started? How many people are still regularly using the bus routes and the Metro Rail?
Well, they reduced the service, so our heavier routes remained heavy. They still had people had to go to work. You know, we have nurses and doctors that's trying to get downtown. We have people that, you know, were trying to get where they needed to be. And you still have construction workers working. There's a lot of construction downtown. And all you had to do was go to stand at a Metro Rail station and watch the passengers go by. It was, a pretty good mix of society, you know. But the reality is that society that's riding that transit is in that demographic that's suffering the most loss due to this virus outbreak.
Do you guys have an estimate at this point in terms of how many transit workers have gotten sick from coronavirus or needed to stay home as a result because of it?
The last time I checked, because I don't have an accurate number, it was about 15. I think it was up to like 20 now. So because of HIPAA, you know, we haven't been able to get actual, but it's quite a bit. I could tell by, you know, the amount of operators that are coming in and, you know, word of mouth. The guys that.
And are those folks given health benefits by the county? Are they given the 2-week paid sick leave?
They're all insured and taken care of in that manner. The federal government, specifically the transportation department, gave us like 220-some-odd million, like $24 million. And I think the grand total is going to wind up being $454 million when it's done. So they had the money to pay people to stay home with underlying conditions. And, once they reached the age 65, they took those people off and left everybody else that was deemed, you know, healthy enough to be around the place.
So what was the thinking behind launching this lawsuit? What were you hoping to achieve, and what are you looking for from the county now?
Because when we were requesting the more specific and more protective equipment, life-saving equipment, as I might want to say, they were on the news cycle talking about priorities and giving priority to the nurses and the police and the fire. And they certainly do need it, and they needed it. But at the time that they were saying that, our numbers wasn't skyrocketing. And I was getting indication from the nurses at Jackson Hospital that they had adequate supply. As a matter of fact, they actually asked us did we need any, and that they were going to give us some. So I got the similar support from the firefighters and the police. So that was for whomever wanted to hear it, but it wasn't really the reality of the supply that we had. We had more than enough supply. They just was picking and choosing who, I guess, in my case, who they wanted to live.
And something that struck me that you wrote about in the lawsuit too is that we've seen how the coronavirus is disproportionately impacting Black and brown populations, and in fact that's who makes up the majority of the folks that's working within the transit workers union. So do you think there's a level of that issue in terms of getting adequate protective gear for that specific population?
Whether it was direct or indirect, it is what it is. They disproportionately issued that equipment to other groups, knowing what the makeup of our bargaining unit is. If you did a number, if you did the Black and brown, I'm almost 99% minority base local. And given the fact that that's our riding base and our operating personnel, and we're suffering the most from this coronavirus with deaths and sickness.